Let's get started on one of the miscellaneous topics, and that is, where do you put your money? Retirement accounts, regular accounts, and annuities. Slide number two. This graphic here is trying to show you that there are two major types of accounts. There are regular accounts, taxable accounts, they're called sometimes. And then there are tax-qualified accounts. That's what the IRS calls them. Most everybody else refers to them as retirement accounts, or maybe educational savings accounts for college, or medical savings accounts or health savings accounts. The IRS lumps them all into a category they call tax-qualified. Now, they all work fairly similarly, so we're going to just deal with the retirement accounts. And what we see here is my attempt at trying to create some kind of bucket or bolsa or bin, because there's sometimes quite a bit of confusion between the type of the account and the investment that is put inside the account. With a regular taxable account, there are no limits on contributions, there are no limits on the type of investment, and you pay taxes every year. At the end of the year, or actually into the next year, you get a 1099 that says how many dividends you received, how much dollars in capital gains, if any, or interest from bonds, and you pay taxes on that. And at first, especially if we're just getting started out, it will be a very small amount. When it becomes serious amounts of money, congratulations. And what we see up here are the investments that are supposed to be inside the bin, the bucket. I don't know if it works, but that's my idea. And notice that there are no limits. You could put stocks, bonds, real estate, cash, futures, options, shorting, margining, all of them can go inside a regular taxable account. The tax-qualified accounts, in our case, we'll just take a look at retirement accounts, allow you to defer, or in some cases, eliminate taxes. But they come with various strings attached. For example, there are strict limits on contributions. We'll see what those contribution limits are. You can't just pick up $1 million and put it into a Roth IRA. It doesn't work that way. There are strict limits on the investments that you can put in. The Congress is saying to you, you know, this is for your retirement or your kids' education. We don't want you to be gambling with options and futures and shorting. And then, as we already just said, the IRS blesses and kisses and special dispensation is meted out upon these types of accounts. And they are either tax deferred or, in the case of a Roth, in retirement, tax free. Very cool. Slide number three. The types of retirement accounts, the types of tax-qualified accounts, fall into generally two major categories, pre-tax and post-tax, sometimes called before-tax and after-tax. So you may have heard of 401ks, 403bs. Yeah, the 401k is for companies and businesses and corporations. 403Bs are for non-for-profit organizations such as schools and hospitals. Everybody can have a traditional IRA. And the simple IRA, the SEP IRA, the KEO. These are for people who are self-employed or work for small businesses. You get a tax break now, and then later on in retirement, you pay taxes. You defer the taxes, which is generally a very good idea, folks. Pay them later than now. Although some people might say, no, pay them now and get it over with. There are many choices, but I like tax deferred. And then the relatively newer one, although it's been around since 1998, is the post-tax contribution. It's the Roth IRA, and it says for almost everyone. Everyone can contribute to a Roth IRA. There's just some real strange paperwork you got to do, and we'll discuss that. The Roth 401k, the Roth 403b. Well, that's not what the IRS calls them. That's why we put them in quotes, because they're really just a 401k or a 403b that accepts after-tax, post-tax contributions, but everyone refers to them as a Roth 401k, a Roth 403b. These don't give you a tax break now, but oh boy, don't they give you a tax break later. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. And they have, at least the Roth IRA has another couple of advantages that we'll discuss. Slide number 4, the individual retirement arrangement. What? I thought it stood for individual retirement account. Well, you know what, folks? For the general population, everybody who you talk to is going to call it an individual retirement account. But its proper term, its legal term, is an individual retirement arrangement. Who uses that? The IRS, of course. It's now referred to as the traditional IRA to differentiate it from the Roth IRA. Anyone with earned income can contribute to a traditional Roth. There's a little bit of confusion because there are contribution limits for the Roth. Anyone can contribute to the Roth? I'm sorry. Anyone with earned income can contribute to a traditional IRA. There's a little bit of confusion because the Roth IRA has contribution limits, but it really doesn't. Huh? Wait, we'll get there. We'll get there. The confusion also is with regard to the tax deductibility of the contributions. Because if you have a retirement plan at work and you make over a certain amount, you can still contribute to the traditional IRA, except you might not be able to deduct the contributions in the year you made the contributions. It will still grow tax deferred. And so this is a form of confusion. People say, oh, I make too much to contribute to a traditional IRA. No, it doesn't matter how much money you make. You make $1 million, you can contribute to a traditional IRA. Now, you might not be able to deduct the contributions because if you have an employer-sponsored plan and you make over a certain amount of money, sorry, we don't want you sheltering. That's what the Congress says. We don't want you sheltering more money. And so this becomes a bit of an accounting a nightmare, because you have to keep track of how much was after tax, non-deductible. Or else when you go to take the money out, the IRS will just say it's all taxable. Wait a minute, I already paid taxes on the... All right, you better show us. So you want to keep those year-end statements, and most mutual fund companies and brokerage firm companies are keeping them forever. Your investment grows tax-deferred. You pay taxes on the money as you withdraw it once you are retired. Normally, after 59 and a half years, you can do it a little earlier. There's a special little accounting thing you can do to take it out earlier. But most people are going to be working into their 60s and even 70s now because we're living far longer and we're far better health. Mandatory withdrawals begin at 70 and a half. And, oh, are the penalties horrible. It's unbelievable what they do to seniors. Now, you know, I've never had anybody I've never seen anybody actually penalized by the IRS because the penalties are very severe. There's a required minimum distribution that you must take out for traditional IRAs, and it's similar to 401ks and 403bs. And if you don't start taking out 70.5, they can hit you with a 50% penalty on the amount that you were supposed to take out. Plus, you still got to pay taxes on it. What a terrible thing to do to elderly, but that's the rules. And I think these rules were made up 50, 60 years ago, and people just didn't live that long. But as we'll see, the Roth IRA does not have this same stipulation. Why? Because the gentleman by the name of William Roth, who it is named after, was in the Senate in the 1990s in his 70s. And he was having to take money out of his IRAs, his traditional IRAs. And he wasn't too happy about it. He's still working. So he made sure that the Roth IRA does not have that same required minimum distribution. You can let it ride if you're still working in your 70s. Slide number 5. The IRA has many cousins and siblings and brothers-in-laws and all kinds of relatives. The 401k at corporations, the 403b, the 457, the 401a at non-profit public organizations such as school districts, hospitals. The SEP IRA for self-employed and small businesses, the simple IRA for self-employed and small businesses, the simple 401k, the SARSEP. These are all work basically the same way, Keyote, except for the Roth. The Roth is a little, different, as we'll see. But all of those work the same way. You put money in now, you get a tax break now, the money grows tax deferred. When you retire, boom, that's when you take it out. When you take it out, that's when you get taxed. And that's, we're going to be putting it in slowly over 30, 40, 50 years. You're going to be taking it out slowly over 30 years or so because people are just living far longer. Slide number 6. Let's see an example of this. You have a position at a company. The business has a 401k, or you're working for a school district, 403b, or maybe you're just putting money into your own traditional IRA, individual retirement arrangement. And so let's say we have a 401k. We put in $100 from our paycheck. Well, what's going to happen? Well, it depends on which tax bracket you're in. And if you don't understand marginal tax rates, go check out Chapter 3 of Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, because you really should know your marginal tax rate. It's the amount that is being deducted from your paycheck for every next dollar you earn. So let's say this person is in the 25% tax bracket. If they're in the 25% tax bracket for the feds, they're probably in the 6 or 8, maybe a little bit less. The brackets in California, there are more varied and they straddle the 25% federal bracket. So let's say you're in the 8% California bracket. So what's going to happen? If you put in $100 via your paycheck, the feds are going to give you $25. The state of California is going to give you $8. Now, they write a check and say, no. What they do is they just take out 25 fewer dollars out of your withholding. That's how it works. That $100 is pre-tax, before tax. So you see $100 go into your investment, but you only see your take-home pay reduced by $67. And we are not even including any match that your business may or may not give you. If they're giving you $50 for every $100 you put in, or some are $100 for every $100 you put in, that's an unbelievable return on your investment in one day. Who's going to give you a 50% return on your money in one day? Nobody I know except your employer. I know you hate your boss, but just think about it. It's not a bad deal. It's a pretty good deal. It's free money. You should take advantage of it. And sadly, a lot of people don't. Yeah. We go into much more detail about this in the Financial Planning and Money Management class. So if you want to check out some of the chapters, Chapter 11, Chapter 14, you'll see that, and we discuss it in the investments, Chapter 13 of mutual funds. In the Business 123 class, we concentrate on the investments themselves. But you'll see that these new plans are taking over the world because businesses don't want to be on the hook for your pension. We're living far longer. And with a 401k, a 403b, a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, if we are consistent and invest wisely and prudently, something I hope I have helped you learn to do this semester, you will have a much better pension plan than anything your business would have ever given you, because they have to be far more conservative with the money that they put away for you. However, if you don't contribute, or you make very rookie mistakes like taking all your money out at the market bottom, putting it all back in at the market top, then you could have a pretty lousy retirement. So that's the new world that we live in. You put in $100, your take home pay is only reduced by $67, but the whole $100 goes into the account. Okay, Payana, what's the catch? Well, nothing's free, right? You pay income tax on any amounts withdrawn in retirement. But think about it. In retirement, people are usually in a lower tax bracket because you're not working anymore. And if you're in a higher tax bracket because you're taking tons of money out of your 401k or your 403b, all I can say is congratulations. I would be very happy for you. I hope all my students have that horrible problem in their elder years where they're taking too much money out of their retirement account. I hope all my clients, I hope I have that problem. It's a champagne problem. Oh my goodness, we have too much champagne. What shall we ever do? What happens if you withdraw the funds before retirement? Right. They're going to slap your hand. You pay the income tax and you pay a 10% penalty. Now, the IRS doesn't call it a 10% penalty. They call it a 10% additional tax. Ugh, what difference does it make? It's a penalty. But there are some exceptions. First-time home purchase, higher education, medical disability, financial hardship. They will still make you pay the income taxes. Well, that's only fair. You didn't pay them on the way in. It was pre-tax dollars. But you don't have to pay the additional 10% tax, the 10% penalty. Slide number 8. Now, a Roth IRA works exactly in the opposite, or the Roth 401k, the Roth 403b. You contribute to a Roth IRA, say, through your checking account, $100. Well, what do the feds give you? What does the state of California give you? Double. You know, you don't get any money now. You don't get a tax break now. Your disposable income is reduced by $100. So you may ask, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to start one, right? I know you are. Nod your head yes. And your friends are going to say, well, why do you contribute to a Roth IRA? And here's the answer, folks. And you got to practice it. Because a Roth IRA is so cool. Tax-free in retirement is a golden opportunity. No other investment choice comes close, folks. I think in 10, 20, 20 years or so, they're going to get rid of these things. They're going to say, look, if you have one, you can keep it, but no more, because there's going to be billions and billions of dollars that is tax-free. Now, there are some people who say, don't trust the Congress. That's like saying don't trust yourself, right? We are the people who put them in power. They represent us, so it's basically a reflection of us. Ain't a pretty picture, is it? But there are people who say don't trust the Congress. When 20 years from now, they're going to say, remember what we said about that tax-free in retirement? It was just a little joke. I don't think so. Elderly folks, seniors, vote, and politicians really take note when you vote, and they have those swinging canes that they'll come right out, and, you know, they'll be swinging those canes. I don't think it's going to happen. And here's another very cool thing about the Roth IRA. You can withdraw the contributions at any time without any penalty. Now, there's a bit of confusion about that, because if you're converted, you have to wait 5 years, but still, the idea, you don't worry about that. Don't worry about all the little sniggly little things. If you made a contribution, that money is yours. You already paid tax on the contributions, right? Yeah, so that money is yours, and you can pull that out at any time. Now, if you do a conversion, they want you to wait 5 years. Okay, all right, so don't get confused. But if that happens to you, educate yourself. Make sure you understand exactly what you're doing. So this ability to take out the contributions makes the Roth IRA an excellent intermediate-term investment account. You can use it for the purchase of a home or other high-ticket items such as college expenses. Because when you filled out the FAFSA form, it's not the FAFSA, that's what people say, but it's the FAFSA form, that form did not ask you how much was in your Roth IRA or your parents' Roth IRA. So they could change. They could change it, but currently the financial aid rules do not take a look at what's in retirement accounts. Now, if you go to a private institution and you apply for financial aid, they look at Roth IRAs as liquid. And so, yeah, thank you very much. And so they expect you to raid your retirement account for the college education. Slide number 10. Now, let's see if you can follow me on this. We're supposed to tell you that a Roth IRA is not for everyone. Well, it is. So I know we're supposed to tell you that. You see, the Congress, in their infinite wisdom, set up limitations on Roth IRA contributions because they didn't want very wealthy people to take advantage of these things. So they set it up so that only single taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of $114,000 or less, or married couples with an adjusted gross income of $181,000 or less in 2014, it goes up every year, can fully contribute to a Roth IRA. And if you don't qualify, congratulations. I don't feel too bad for you. But listen to this, folks. This is how insane the tax laws are. You can still contribute to the Roth IRA anyway. Because, hey, you didn't know you were going to go over the amount. Or even if you did know. If you find that you've made over the limit, or you knew you were going to go over the limit, you simply recharacterize the contributions into a traditional IRA, because the traditional IRA doesn't have the same limitations before you file your taxes. Well, you can actually do it after you file your taxes. You have until October 15th of the next, but just do it before you file your taxes. And then you convert the traditional IRA back into the Roth. You do it all on the same day. You fill out the paperwork exactly the same time and you submit it. I've helped people do it, folks. I've done it several times for people. I know you're thinking, who voted for these bozos? And the answer is we did. Yeah, right. There are representatives. I love it when people attack the Congress and I go, well, you know, in a representative democracy, the government is a reflection of the people, and they just look at you like you just said, they're not, they're all special interests. Well, yeah, right. Everybody has their own special interests, and we're all screaming and hollering at them. And, right. It's all money. You're right, it's all money. And nothing new. Mark Twain said it best over 100 years ago. We have the best Congress money can buy. But it's our money paying for it. No, it's not. It's those. Yeah, right. Yeah. Let's. I digress. Let's continue. Slide number 11. So you understand, a Roth IRA is for everybody. Even if you make too much money, you can go ahead and do it, and then just submit the paperwork. And I don't know why they just won't make it easier. Slide number 11. What's the contributions for 2014? Well, currently, the contribution for anybody under the age of 50, assuming you've made income, right, is $5,500. So if you made $5,500, you can put in the whole amount into a Roth IRA. You have up to April 15th of the next year. Either a Roth or a traditional IRA. Now, you can't do over $5,500. People say, well, I can have a Roth. And I can have a traditional and put $5,500 in both? No. You can have 20 Roths and 15 traditionals, but the maximum contribution between all of them, amongst all of them, has to be less than $5,500. Once you reach age 50, then you can contribute an extra $5,000. An extra $1,000 to $6,500. And this is very cool. You can contribute on behalf of your spouse, even if he or she does not work. So, it's a married couple has two. Slide number 12. The 401k, the 403b have a much higher contribution limit. $17,500 if you're under 50. And once you reach 50, $23,000. So think about it. You both work. You're a married couple. You could take one of the couple's salary and stuff $17,500 into the 401k, and then maybe even get a match from your business, and live off the other couple's income, and do that for 5-10 years, and you'll never have to contribute another dime to your retirement account. Now, you probably want to continue contributing. Once you get into the habit, you'll find that it's not that hard. But really, folks, I mean, think about it. That's a significant chunk of change. In 2002, was it? Yeah, 2002. There was a loophole that allowed, I think it was in the 2001 tax law changes, but it wasn't discovered. At least I noticed people discovering it in 2002. If you're in the public sector and your school or your hospital has a 403B and a 457, you can double contribute. $17,500 into the 403B and $17,500 into the 457. And if you're 50 or over, $23,000. I thought they were going to get rid of that loophole within a few years. I just didn't think they were going to let that stand. I mean, how many people are going to take advantage of that? People, you know, making a lot of money. But still, that's a pretty darn good deal. And if you get a teaching job or a nursing job, or you could take advantage of those. Slide number 13. Now, this is very cool, especially if you're just starting out. Make sure you know this. You can get a tax credit for low-income earnings. Now, I don't know about you, but $60,000 or less for a married filing jointly, I don't think that's that low. $30,000 or less for single filers. These are all 2014 numbers. $45,000 or less. Tax credits are very, very cool. So if you're not making a whole lot of money and you're putting $50 or $100 in a month into a Roth IRA or your 401k, you could wind up, you know, getting $300 back from pretty darn good. So if you do your own taxes, don't forget this. If you have someone do them, make sure to remind them that you put money into a Roth IRA. See, the IRS doesn't, if you put money into a Roth IRA, there's no paperwork you have to file. But if you don't take advantage of the low income, the tax credit for low income earners, they're not going to call you up and say, "Hey, Joe, you forgot to take, we'll send you the," no, they're not going to, you have to know about it. TurboTax, by the way, handles these well. It says, "Oh, you put money into a Roth and you didn't make, hey, we're going to get you a tax credit up to 50%. Not very good. Very good. Very good. Slide number 14. Now, we said that there is a Roth 401k, a Roth 403b, and we put them in quotes because the IRS doesn't call them that. They just call them a 401k or a 403b with after-tax, post-tax contributions. Your employer does not have to offer the option. It's up to the employer. They don't have to offer it. But if they do, you can put that money away after tax, which means you're going to pay taxes on it now, but when you go to take the money out, it will be tax-free. Now, here's the rub, folks. Here's the thing that bothers me. Any employer matches will continue to be pre-tax contributions. You understand? And so you have to keep track of how much went in post-tax and how much went in pre-tax. Or again, the IRS, when you go to take it out, is going to say, dame todo, you know, give us all of it. You know, we want it all taxed. But no, it was only this much. You have to keep track of all that. And unlike the Roth IRA, you cannot take out the contributions at any time without penalty or taxes. So I like the Roth better. But this is a good option for people who are not making a lot of money now, don't need the tax break now, and if they are giving you a match, oh yeah, you've got to take advantage of that. The accounting issues notwithstanding, free money, folks. Take it. And a lot of people don't. They leave it on the table, as the saying goes. Slide number 15. All right, we got, what is an annuity? Annuities, oh! Remember, I'm not only a stockbroker, registered representative, I'm also a life insurance agent, property and casualty insurance. And these annuities, folks, supposedly there's some good ones out there. I haven't seen any, but hey, they have a very sexy feature. Annuities are life insurance products, and they are designed to provide a guaranteed income. Guaranteed by whom? By who? By who? The life insurance companies. And why should I trust a life insurance company? Well, folks, life insurance companies make tremendous sums of money. They don't go bankrupt every once in a while, usually through malfeasance, meaning hanky-panky, one will go under. But for the most part, no. You don't have to worry about the life insurance. And even if one does go under, the others, you know, all pitch in and take over and make sure that you get your money. And so how do these annuity options work? Well, they can, you can say, I want it for 10 years or 20 years. But the one that seems to be the most popular is the life income option, which you say to the insurance company, here's the money, pay me a certain amount of money for the rest of my life. And if you're married, you can have it so that your spouse gets something too. The amount you get is based on which of the above options you pick, whether the 10, 20, 30-year or life income option, how much you've contributed, and how well your annuity investments have been performed over time. And there are two major types. There are fixed annuities, and there are variable annuities. Now, fixed annuities generally invest in bonds. You don't see what they're investing in. They do it for you. And they pay anywhere from 2 to 6%, 2 to 5%. Right now, they're not paying anywhere near that. Well, interest rates are pretty low. Variable annuities invest in mutual funds. So then you do get to see what they're investing in because at the time, National Association of Securities Dealers, and now FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, when the insurance company started selling mutual funds inside these variable annuities, they jumped up and down and said, wait a minute, this is our jurisdiction. And if you're going to give people mutual funds, if you're going to sell people mutual funds, you have to give them the prospectus. You have to give them the annual reports. You have to show what's inside the mutual fund. That's part of the Investment Company Act of 1940, if you remember. And so they have to tell you all the fees that they're charging you, unlike a fixed annuity, which they won't show you anything. And variable annuities, 2 to 6%, maybe a little bit more if you get a good mutual fund, stock mutual fund. But folks, what's going on? I mean, we think of bonds, we think 4 to 8%, we think of stocks, 8 to 10. What's going on? You know what's going on. Much of the money is going into the insurance company's pocket. Slide 16. What are the advantages and disadvantages of tax-deferred annuities? They can be funded with retirement account dollars or after-tax dollars, unlike the tax-qualified accounts that we saw in the first couple of slides. There are no limits on contributions to annuities. So that's a big feature for people who are very wealthy. They can put money away tax-deferred and pull it out in retirement. Because like a retirement account, an annuity is tax-deferred. You pay taxes on any pre-tax annuity contributions and all tax-deferred earnings as you withdraw them out in retirement. And with other retirement plans, when you retire, you will likely be in a lower income tax bracket. What are the downsides? Oh, these things have very high fees, huge surrender costs if you're not happy with it. The annuity company usually takes at least between 1.5% to 3% every year on top of the mutual fund fees. But if you're an insurance agent, ooh, do you love these things? Because these guys pay huge commissions. And in the, I could throw it into this class, but because I get these in the mail, there's one where they were enticing the salesperson with Caribbean trips for the salesperson, not for the annuitants, not for the customers. So if you can fool people into buying, if you can represent individuals and advise them to buy annuities, you can make a lot of money, dear students. Enough said. Slide number 17. So to review, there are regular accounts where you pay taxes every year. pre-tax contribution retirement accounts, also other types of tax-qualified accounts, where you get a tax break now, you pay taxes in retirement. Post-tax contributions, where you don't get a tax break now, but tax-free in retirement, yippee! And then annuities, where you pay high fees to the life insurance company, but you get tax-deferred earnings. Okay? Excellent.